In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. One day a farmer was out plowing his fields, and he was really wrestling with God's will for his life. And so he asked God to give him a sign. And as he looked up to the clouds in the sky, he saw one of them begin to spell out a letter. And it looked like the letter P. And that cloud dissipated, and another cloud rolled in and spelled the letter C. PC. What is God trying to tell me here? And then it finally hit the farmer. God wants me to preach Christ. He wants me to become a preacher. And so he sold his farm equipment and sold his land, and that's exactly what he did. The problem is, he was an awful, awful preacher. And the more he preached, the worse he got. Until finally, no church would invite him back, and so he went back home, he bought his farm equipment, and he bought back his lands. And then his farmer buddies showed up and they said, "Hey, what happened? We thought God had given you this sign through the clouds to go off and to be a preacher." And he said, "Well, I thought that was the case too until I realized I misread the signs. PC wasn't for preach Christ, it was for plant corn." Now we know that looking to the clouds might not be the best way to communicate with God. But today on this Transfiguration Sunday, ironically, the clouds are exactly where we find God. In Holy Scripture, we read that when the Israelites fled from their bondage in Egypt, God stayed with them in a very visible way, in the form of a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. In today's lesson from Exodus, before Moses delivers the Ten Commandments, he first climbs Mount Sinai to meet God, which is completely covered by a cloud. And later, when God instructs the Israelites to make this portable tabernacle, God fills the tent with his presence in a form of a cloud. And in today's gospel lesson, when Jesus climbs to the top of a mountain with Peter, James, and John to pray, they are suddenly overshadowed by a large cloud. So as we can see from today's lessons, God uses the clouds. But Luke goes on in today's gospel passage to tell us that Jesus is not alone in this great cloud. He's joined by two very prominent figures from the past, Moses and Elijah, two men the disciples would have heard all about growing up as young boys in Israel. Moses representing the law, and Elijah the prophets. And so Peter's offer to build three tabernacles or dwelling places might not be as strange as it sounds to us today. You see, the Jews had a long-standing tradition known as the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And in this feast, they would gather together and they would remember how God delivered them from the bondage in slavery in Egypt and how he provided for them in the wilderness. But the Feast of Booths also looked forward to another day, a day when God would finally defeat Israel's enemies and the Messiah would come into his kingdom. And so it's easy to see how Peter might think, this is it. This is the day. Like that farmer who desperately wanted to know God's perfect will for his life, Peter wants to fit what's happening into a plan. But by springing into action, Peter almost misses out on God's presence altogether. In fact, while he's in the middle of his proposal, God interrupts him by saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." So instead of taking action, God invites Peter to stop and to experience the wonder and mystery of his presence. Now I imagine at some point in our lives, most of us have experienced God's presence in a very real and powerful way. And these moments typically happen when we least expect them, don't they? Sometimes they may happen when we are serving someone in need. Sometimes they occur when we are in the beauty of God's creation, surrounded by nature. And sometimes they're found in the very midst of our hardships and difficulties. But when these moments come, how often do we find ourselves unsure, a little nervous, and definitely out of our comfort zones? And so, like Peter in today's gospel, we try to domesticate these holy encounters by saying or doing something to give us some sense of control. We live in a society and a culture that tells us to take action, to do something. Don't just sit back and watch, take control of your life. And so eventually we come to believe that we are what we do. We buy into this myth that we are nothing more than the sum total of our achievements and accomplishments. And so we seek to fill our lives with more activities, with more work, with more things, with more of this or more of that, so that one day we may finally have a more meaningful life. And of course, as we know, there are plenty of times that we should take action. We should do the work God has called us to do. But doing more work for the sake of gaining more is not always the answer. It's like the old joke, who is more content, the man with $10 million or the man with 10 children? And the correct answer is the man with 10 children because he doesn't want any more. This brings us back to the clouds, the place where God reveals himself in today's lessons. As we know, clouds don't typically bring more clarity. Instead, they obscure, they hide, they're foggy and hazy. It's difficult for us to see and know exactly what's going on inside them. I remember my very first time on an airplane as a child. I was so excited about flying through the clouds. But as we entered into that first cloud, my excitement quickly turned to fear. Because what I didn't realize is that clouds can often cause something called turbulence. And as we made our way into the clouds, the plane began to violently shake, and everybody was terrified. But after a few minutes, the bumps eventually smoothed out, and the ride became more even, and before I knew it, I was safe and sound on the ground. In the same way, God wants to shake up our lives, to transform us, to transfigure us into the people we were created to be. But if we're honest, we don't want that. We don't like change. Like the turbulence on an airplane, it can be quite uncomfortable and frightening. Now, we may realize that who we are and what we have may not be everything we currently want, but at least we know it. At least we're comfortable with it. At least we're familiar with it. At least we've set up tabernacles and built an orderly life around it. But God wants to unsettle us. He wants to free us. He wants to transfigure us. It's like that old saying, God loves us just as we are right now, but he loves us too much to let us stay that way. So God uses the clouds because that's where we're changed. Moses, Peter, James, John, all of them were changed in the clouds, not because of anything they did. Instead, they were changed by the God whose glory transfigures everyone it touches. The good news found on this Transfiguration Sunday is that God comes to us today and he surrounds us with his loving presence, not in a white, fluffy cloud up in the sky, but by a great cloud of witnesses, all those who have gone before us to be with the Lord. And it's in this cloud that we are reminded to stop and to hear God speak to us through his word and through his sacraments. In this cloud, we are reminded that God loves us, not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of who God is and what he's already done for us through Jesus. Today, with God's grace, may we receive and embrace this good news and be changed, be transfigured people who boldly go into the world and point others to the clouds. Amen.